Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Off all wines by the glass and Memphis beers, plus cocktail specials. Enjoy our small bites like Oysters of Love, house-smoked salmon deviled eggs, and dollar raw oysters. We also offer one of the city's largest bourbon lists. Check us out at FeliciaSuzanne.com.
It is time to think about transforming your house for the summer. No better way to do that than get in touch with Affordable Blinds of Memphis. New blinds, new shades, new shutters. They got the new motorized blinds. You can say, Alexa, open my blinds, and they will open up magically. You can get beautiful new outdoor shutters, which will transform the look of your house. All you got to do is get in touch with Chip Wiggins from Affordable Blinds of Memphis at 753-5822, 753-5822. He'll come to your house. He'll measure everything, show you all your options. They got a beautiful mobile showroom. And within one to three weeks, it can be done. They call it Affordable Blinds because they are affordable, but they're also the highest quality, the best price, and the quickest service. Again, Chip Wiggins at 753-5822 or go to their website, affordableblindsofmemphis.com.
Hey, hon.
Hey, babe. You know that skateboard?
Oh, no. How bad?
A sprain, maybe a break. We're headed to the...
No, not the ER. Go to Campbell Clinic after hours in Germantown or South Haven.
We don't have an appointment.
You don't need one. With Campbell Clinic after hours, you can walk in, get treated, and get home.
Okay, we're headed there now.
Campbell Clinic Orthopedics, the official sports medicine provider for the Grizzlies, Redbirds, and Tigers.
Down home, nobody leaves the table hungry. Put food on your table tonight with Church's Real Big Family Deal. 12 pieces of chicken, legs, and thighs in original or spicy, and two large sides for just $15. Church's, bringing that down home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations.
What do you do if you want a larger diamond, but it may not be in the budget?
I don't know, Howie, from Robert Irwin Jewelers.
You put a halo on it. A lot of times, if you put a halo around the center diamond, it makes the diamond look bigger and brighter, and that's the whole idea of the engagement ring.
And that's exactly why everybody comes to see you at Robert Irwin Jewelers for the Summer of 1,000 Engagements.
And if you get in today, you're going to save 20 to 40% off, and if you spend $1,500 or more, you're going to get a free mini vacation for two and free financing.
For convenient locations or online, rijewelers.com.
You hear that? Nothing. I love it.
That's the sound of your new IKEA kitchen soft close drawers. Now through July 28th, IKEA family members get 10% off at the IKEA kitchen event. Restrictions apply. Visit IKEA or IKEA-USA.com for details. Financing options available with the IKEA Project Credit Card. Subject to credit approval, Community Capital Bank issues IKEA Project Credit Card accounts. Minimum monthly payments and minimum purchase required. See an IKEA coworker for details. IKEA, make the dream yours.
Ready for a change? Join the club. At LA Fitness, we believe showing up is all the initiation you need. Come in and try it out for 5 days on us. Find your nearest location and get a guest pass for you and a friend at LAFitnessMemphis.com.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
Dan Devine, of course, writes for The Ringer, covering the NBA. As always, go follow him on Twitter, at YourManDevine. Dan will be making his final appearance. We're giving him a well-earned, much-needed vacation. But, Dan, I wanted to start first here with you. Jeff and I have been discussing this, and I'm slightly unsure of which way I lean. Do you feel like when we saw the free agents this go-round choose the bigger markets and you know, spurning small-market teams, although I don't think Toronto would really qualify as a small-market team, do you feel like this is an omen of the way things are headed?
It's an interesting question, because it's definitely where smaller market sort of franchisees and management structures had been concerned in the past that was the way it was going. But then there were teams like Oklahoma City that were like, you know, well, they kept Paul George, and they've been able to, you know, be a playoff team 9 years in a row and make four conference finals and so on and so forth. So there was, and then, you know, San Antonio was another sort of example of that, and this idea of, if you have the management and you have the organization and you've got the way of sort of conducting business that keeps you competitive and can help players advance and get paid and yada, 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 you'll still be able to compete. I think that the fact that many of the – or a large number of the sort of top flight guys ended up in Brooklyn or in L.A., with, you know, LeBron last summer, Anthony Davis pushing his way there, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. I think that's a cause. I would imagine it would be a cause for concern. But I also think you have to look at the specifics surrounding that. You know, for Kawhi Leonard, that's a homecoming. For Paul George, it's a way to a homecoming and be a way out of a situation that might have sort of reached its ceiling and toward a better competitive situation for him as he looks to compete for championships. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving both run their course in their, you know, prior situations, and then look at it and say, well, it's not just where's the market, it's also where's the infrastructure in place to, you know, put a good team around me. So it's not just everybody selling out everything to go to the Knicks or the Lakers. It's about finding the situation that matches the market. Next summer, moving forward, now these teams, the Nets, the Clippers, the Lakers, they've kind of already spent that, right? They've already put their competitive teams together. They've spent their max slots to put this together. So the Knicks could still be out there as a team with a max slot, but then beyond that, who knows? Now also there's not as many high price or high marquee free agents next summer, but I would imagine, you know, once that money's spent, it's spent, and so then there's, you know, there might be some other teams that get a chance for the bite at the apple too. So all of which is a long way of saying I don't really know. I think it's worth monitoring, and I certainly wouldn't blame smaller market ownership or front offices from wondering if this is a bad sign of things to come.
Yeah, because I agree with the premise that smaller markets are at a disadvantage. But to me, that's also the way that the world works. And
sure,
you're operating from a position in which you have less strength. To me, you're, when you operate from a weaker position, I don't have a problem accepting that. I look at it also from the other perspective in that, you know, I didn't really consider when Paul George chose to stay with Oklahoma City that I didn't think like, yay, this is a sign that all, you know, if a small market has a star, they can keep him. Like, I looked at it, well, at that point, Oklahoma City could offer him the most money. And so, to me, like, I understood it from a financial perspective. And as I look at it today, like, most of the guys that we saw leaving, with the exception being Anthony Davis, these are guys that were on not their original team, not the team that signed them, or, you know, the team that drafted them and whatnot. And, you know, to me, I felt like it was an overreaction a few years ago when people thought that this was now a sign of things to come for small markets keeping big names. And I just look at it like Brooklyn created the cap space. The Knicks, though they didn't do as much with it, they created the cap space. The Clippers end up having to give up a haul just to go get Paul George to make it even feasible to get Kawhi. Like, I look at it as those were the teams that kind of sold out and they hit. But if you also look at the Knicks, they didn't hit. And now, as you know as well as anyone, people are upset.
Sure. I mean, I think the thing that, you know, when you look at the market size as a variable and a question and, you know, sort of what the concern is, I think the bigger concern would be, I guess, maybe that the supermax as a carrot, or the idea of the additional year and the additional X million dollars, maybe isn't as big a draw, or as it hasn't worked out quite the way that the league intended it when they put that in. Because, you know, whether or not, I mean, it goes back to Boogie in Sacramento, right? Like, they were like, oh, well, we don't necessarily want to give up that kind of extension.
Right.
You know, there's the Paul George question in Indiana. There's Kemba in Charlotte.
Yep.
There, you know, whatever, so on and so forth. So guys are making, and you know, Durant could have gotten more with the Warriors. You know, Kyrie could have gotten more with the Celtics, so on and so down the line. When you're at that level, the all NBA caliber guys, the top 10, top 15 kind of players, your options open and your off court options in terms of what you make from your sneaker deals or your other endorsements or yada yada yada, that can mitigate the draw of the extra year and the extra salary, and also contract lengths being what they are now, the longest you can go is 4 or 5 years. You're able to get into free agency again sooner. So, and with if you are a power player and you're able to get a player option at the back end of that deal even sooner than that. So the idea of an extra year isn't necessarily quite as compelling, because by the time the salary cap increases and the max salary for year one goes up, you might even be able to get more by going back into free agency in 3 years than you could by going into 4 or 5. So I think that's the concern if you're looking at it from this perspective of one of those teams and saying, well, if you have that guy, you draft him, you develop him, you may help him, bring him into that sort of star status, or you foster the growth into that star status, the clock's sort of always ticking on you. And situations like the Pelicans came away from it about as well as you could ask for with what David Griffin was able to do in that trade. Oklahoma City certainly responding to that adversity by coming away with an even bigger haul than what New Orleans got. The flip side of it is, if you don't act quickly and judiciously, you could wind up like Charlotte, watching Kemba Walker go away and feeling like the best way you can bounce back from that is paying Terry Rozier. So it puts front offices in more of a, even more of a pressure cooker in those sorts of situations, because it's not always going to be about the most years and the most money. It's going to be about all the other things that go into it as well.
I know, because of the fact that you do so many appearances here in Memphis, and we're always grateful that you do, you've always got an eye on the pulse of what specifically the Grizzlies are doing. But in terms of, other peers and other coworkers that you have on the national scene, how do they view what the Grizzlies have been doing in terms of the asset allocation, if you will?
I mean, as far as I understand it, people have been pretty positive about it. Well, this is the first go-around for this sort of revamped new iteration front office, Zach Kleiman and Taylor Jenkins. It remains to be seen with Taylor Jenkins what that looks like with him on the sideline. But the idea that you were able to land Morant and Brandon Clark in the draft, that you're able to then, I think people respond pretty positively to the asset move of, we're going to facilitate the Iguodala trade, get a future first rounder for it, push that obligation from Golden State into the future when, Steph might be getting toward the back end, or we don't know what the Warriors will look like in, 2024, I believe.
Yep.
And we're going to say we're going to hang on to Iguodala too, because no real need for us to buy him out when we feel like there's going to be a trade market for him. So, we'll be upfront with him. We'll communicate that with his representation, et cetera. But we think that's another way for us to, continue to stock our coffers a little bit. And then, Tyus Jones is a player with the sort of the eye of the beholder a little bit. The advanced numbers in a lot of situations on the offensive end have been really positive for him in Minnesota in his sort of limited minutes. There was always a question among sort of basketball Twitter folks, like, why isn't he getting more time? Is Thibodeau just not going to give him the younger guy more of a chance to run here, especially with Teague in the mix, or with Rubio first, and then Teague, and then Derrick Rose, and so on and so forth? There's also questions about what Tyus Jones is as a defender, if he's a guy that can stand up to some major minutes. But what was the deal? 3 years, $28 million, the offer
Correct.
Sheet? That's not, it's basically the mid-level exception or thereabouts, and it's not a crazy number for a guy who's still, really young, has shown some really positive things during his time on the court. The on-off numbers were always really intriguing with him in Minnesota. And so it gives somebody to push John Morant as he, sort of establishes himself too. You need more bites at the apple. You need more opportunities to find out if the, to give young players a chance to grow and to see who's going to be the who will be part of that next competitive iteration. And I think moving on from Gasol, moving on from Connolly, moving into this sort of new era around Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., I think that it's off to a very promising start. And I think that the general tenor is, now there's a lot of ways it can go from here, and we'll see if it develops in that sort of incremental positive way, moving the flow chart the graph going uphill, or if it's going to be a little bit of fits and starts. Young players usually tend to have that, and young coaches, young executives, and so on. But I think you have to look at what they've done so far and feel like Memphis is in a better position pointed toward the future than certainly this time last year.
of course, talking with Dan Devine of The Ringer at Your Man Devine over on Twitter. I wanted to ask you this. So when you look at Tyus Jones versus DeLon Wright, like, if you're comparing player to player, I don't know. Like, I know Kevin Pelton is a big believer in DeLon Wright, and I like Kevin. And in general, if I don't have a strong opinion, I just kind of defer to Kevin. But you know what I mean? Like, Kevin knows more than I do. Kevin, I don't have a problem with saying if I don't have a strong opinion one way or the other, like, I will be happy to defer to someone that I respect the way that his brain works, and so or her brain works for that matter. But in terms of when you consider you also get the picks with it, like, I don't understand the fascination with DeLon Wright. Like, am I missing something?
I think there's, well, first off, I mean, I would tend to agree with you about, you know, Kevin's analysis and also some other smart people. I know John Sharks, who's, yes, you know, Dallas-based and writes for us and is a big fan of DeLon Wright. Some of the Raptors folks that I know and that I follow and that we read, et cetera, you know, always sort of had an affinity for him when he was in Toronto. I think the idea is, he gives you more sort of optionality in the backcourt. He's 6'6". Yeah. He's long. He can defend more than just the one position. He can defend, you know, two or three perimeter spots. When he had, you know, he was part. We have sort of a little bit of a track record of him being part of a very good unit when he was sort of the second ball handler on those Kyle Lowry and the bench point, units in Toronto that were, you know, their best lineups a couple of years running. I think that there's a sense that he can be a lead ball handler. He can be a, you know, pick and roll facilitator. He can spot up. He can defend multiple positions. He can also contribute without having to be the ball dominator. So there's an idea that a guy like that, who can do a little bit of a bunch of different things, can be really valuable. We've also, and obviously down the stretch in Memphis last year, you got to see some of that, you know, some triple doubles and some more, you know, some sort of more impressive performances when he got, he and Valanciunas kind of got the chance to run the show a little bit down the end of the year. I think that there's also a chance, though, that if a guy who's sort of like a jack of all trades might be a master of none, right?
Yes, and
I think
that was the first thing that came into my mind when you kept saying that. Is like, yeah, and by the way, I do not want this to come off as I'm crapping on DeLon Wright. Like, it's not that, but yes, the first thing that came into my mind is like, yeah, like, that's kind of how I would describe myself. I am good at nothing, but I'm really mediocre at a lot of things.
Listen, we got to stick together.
Exactly.
I think that there's an idea that, you know, that kind of player maybe has a high floor, and while paying too much for that kind of guy is doesn't necessarily help you, having those guys around is always useful. So I think that there's something to be said for, you know, eye test and numbers for what that sort of player can provide. That said, I feel like, you know, I don't know that it is, and I, you know, again, I, similarly, the in terms of the analytics and the sort of the metrics of players at that sort of level, I don't know that I have great fingertips for how vast a difference there would be between,
right,
say, DeLon Wright and Tyus Jones to say, well, it's not worth that. That discrepancy in picks, or that discrepancy in salary, or that discrepancy in whatever. Kevin is the kind of guy who is sort of paid largely to evaluate those differences when he was consulting with teams and player people who do things like that. The idea is you try to put a value to all those things to make those decisions. How much are you paying for your wins and stuff like that? But I think that there's. If Dallas was willing to, you know, liked him enough to be willing to go and pay him and then also give you some picks for the trouble, and then you're able to go flip that into Tyus Jones, I think that that's a decent piece of business for a Memphis team that, you know, DeLon Wright's not going to be the difference between the Grizzlies being, a rebuilder and a playoff team now or in the next few years. So if you can do that, get maybe a roughly equivalent talent with some different, pluses and minuses, and then also add a couple picks to the coffers, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think you might have touched on the point that maybe when I say, like, I don't have much of an opinion, I think because I consider the stakes are so low for the Grizzlies the next couple of years, because I just do not think this is a team that's going to win a lot of basketball games, arguing about which backup point guard is better seems to be something that I'm just not all that interested in. And maybe perhaps that's why I don't move, one way or the other all that strongly. Okay, I wanted to ask you this now. So is Russell Westbrook the single biggest loser now in free agency? I mean, right?
Well, I mean, that depends. And I'm actually something that I'm going to be working on a little bit here. Hopefully goes up tomorrow. I think this is a really interesting point for him, because this is now, you know, he spent 11 years doing things a certain way and being a certain kind of player. And it has been unbelievably successful for him. It has resulted in superstardom. He's going to be a Hall of Famer based on what he has done in his career to this point. He also hasn't won the thing that he wants to win. And the way things have broken in Oklahoma City now, with Paul George leaving, and now that's on the heels of Kevin Durant leaving, and it's on the heels of things sort of breaking up, and you know, the Thunder never really quite getting to where they wanted to go, and having a lot of the same offensive issues no matter who's on the floor with Russell Westbrook. Now, Russell Westbrook is saying he's open to the idea of moving because it seems like things have run their course in Oklahoma City and they're moving in another direction. Wherever Russell Westbrook goes next is not going to be purpose-built around him. It's not going to be specifically organized in the way that the Thunder have over the last few years been his team. Everything organized around him to maximize his talents, not to use the more negative connotations of this word, but to sort of cater to what he needs and what he does the best.
Right.
So, what is Russell Westbrook now? What is Russell Westbrook in 2019 on a team where he's not the thing, where he's the second thing or the third thing? What can he be? Could Russell Westbrook in any context be a different Russell Westbrook? I think that's the really interesting point here. So if he's a loser from the perspective of it's not going to happen for him and for the Thunder in the way that they sort of gamed it out, and in that his reputation once again takes a hit because another MVP caliber co-star has decided to go elsewhere. But this could work out in a really interesting way for Russell Westbrook, because if there is a second act for Russell Westbrook where all of a sudden, instead of six, you know, jacked up threes a game at 29%, it's how do I best maximize Jimmy Butler? How do I best maximize Karl Towns? I think it's a big if, but if there is, suddenly Russell Westbrook becomes one of the most interesting second bananas that we've got, and if he's willing to buy into that, and then maybe that changes some of the way the standings can look or the competitive rubrics, et cetera. I think that he kind of has the choice to decide to be a really, you know, a different kind of sort of supercharged number two than he's ever sort of seemed really comfortable being. And if he makes that choice, I think that could result in sort of a whole new sort of set of doors opening for him. So he might look like a loser right now, but I think that there's a path for him to wind up, winning in a bigger picture that could be pretty interesting.
Do you want to see him and Jimmy Butler on the same team and with Dion Waiters as much as I do?
I don't know that that's going to be the bad. I mean, it'll make for some interesting practices.
Yes.
I can't wait to hear the breathlessly as told to blow by blows of what those workouts look like. I don't know. I think that there are. I can see from a sort of like iron sharpens iron kind of position, or steel sharpens steel, whatever the phrasing is. Like those two guys, I mean, they are gonna, you know, they would lock horns.
It's like multiplying negatives, it becomes positive.
Listen, there's a chance, and especially, I mean, that is a team where the entire culture is built around that kind of, like, relentlessness and grind, and it's hard to imagine two guys who would be sort of better avatars for that sort of system. So I'm not sure how it works on the court, because neither one of those guys is a knockdown shooter, and both of them love to have the ball in their hands. I think Butler went to Miami because he wanted to make sure he was in a situation where he would be the number one sort of creator. So what happens if you add a second guy in there? But I think the match would be really interesting, and I think that there are a few other ones that it would be interesting around the league too. So I don't know what you get for Russell Westbrook now because of all the money you have to take on to bring him in, but I think all of those sorts of questions. What does a trade for him look like? What are the landing spots that make the most sense? And what does Russell Westbrook do when he gets where he's going? I think all those are probably the most interesting questions we've got left over the summer before we head into free agency, or before we head into training camp, rather.
Can Detroit do a deal that doesn't involve Blake Griffin? Can they do a deal that pairs Russell with Blake?
There are ways to make it work on the trade machine and stacking salaries.
Sure.
And stuff. I mean, the unfortunate thing for Detroit is that probably their best starting point as a chip in terms of salary matching is Reggie Jackson, who with the way things
worked out. Not a good spot there.
I don't know that Sam Presti is particularly excited about that. I don't know that Reggie Jackson would be all that eager to go back to Oklahoma City after the way things worked out for him as their backup point guard. But there are a few. I don't know that you would get Andre Drummond there. I mean, he's another big salary that would be go a long way toward matching it. But I would imagine that the Pistons would like to keep him around too. You could do. I mean, so then it's like if you do it, but with lesser players and you're stacking together a few of them. You know, say you're starting with Reggie Jackson and Langston Galloway and, a third guy, Tony Snell or something like that, and that gets you to, 35 or 36, then you're probably also going to have to throw in, future picks or whatever, either, one of their last two couple of lottery pick draftees, something like that, to make it sort of stack up in a way that would be, where Miami could just say, well, we have three salaries, but also there are three better players, so you can and they come off the books earlier, so you can take those now. If you're Detroit and you're not putting in a better player, you're probably going to have to make up the difference somewhere else. So it's not easy to get there, and it remains to be seen what Sam Presti would want in terms of moving off of Russell Westbrook's contract. Would he be willing to just take deals that get done faster and not really worry too much about young talent or draft stuff because he's already got so much of it from the Paul George deal? I don't know. And that's why I think it's an interesting question. But that general idea of Blake being sort of that big, more of a floor spacer, more of a pick and pop threat, more of somebody who can do something with the ball from the perimeter, and Russ being a guy that can get downhill, break down defenses in the pick and roll, get lobs for Drummond. That fit is interesting to me. I don't know how they get there though. I think that'll be interesting to find out.
Two last questions for Dan Devine here, of course, of The Ringer, kind enough to join us each and every Wednesday on the program. This will be his last appearance until the season will get cranked back up in the fall. Did it surprise you to see the reports yesterday that, I know you live there up in Brooklyn, Kevin Durant didn't let anyone on the Nets know that he was joining the Nets and they found out on social media?
Well, yeah, I think it was Sean Marks that said, they hadn't actually met with him or talked to him, and then he said he's going. Can there be a better indicator of the degree to which those, star players exercise power than that? No, I'm sure that there were discussions between, Rich Kleiman, his business partner, and, some Nets representatives. I'm sure whether or not he himself sort of was dealing with that. I'm sure that there was, the ground was laid somewhere else. I'm sure it wasn't a total shock. But,
well, to your point, I was discussing this with my producer. Kyrie had to know, right? So at least someone else knew, right?
Yeah, I don't think, and there will be, I know Chris Mannix at SI has sort of an inside how it happened, and, other people will have more of those sorts of TikToks as things go along, I would imagine. But, this was not this, these things were discussed even if there wasn't a specific meeting beforehand from Kevin Durant with Sean Marks or Kenny Atkinson or whoever. But I don't know. The other thing, personally, my personal story was last summer when The Ringer offered me a job. I didn't go and meet with Bill Simmons or Sean Fennessy or anything.
Right.
I had a couple of phone calls and then I got a job offer. So sometimes that happens. And I live in Brooklyn. Most of the people are out there in LA. So I kind of still don't know a lot of people I work with.
Yeah.
I've been in Brooklyn for 9 months. But I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm Kevin Durant, and
you are.
And these things happen. The idea that so much of that such a big lever can be pulled or such a big button can be pushed and can really change the dynamic of the NBA just based on sort of a whim and not even a meeting or a call is kind of fascinating. So what that turns into for Brooklyn and, when we next see Kevin Durant on the court, what they look like with Kyrie at the wheel this season and without Durant, I think all those things remain to be seen. But, evidently they were able to present a compelling enough situation that he felt comfortable enough, even without a sit-down, hitching his wagon to them for the next 4 years.
Okay, and then lastly, what's best for the league? I always feel like I'm watching, anytime I hear what's best for the league, I feel like I'm watching Raw or watching SmackDown, and just I'm waiting for a McMahon to come out. What's best for business? Because, I don't know, it's a fascinating debate. Because you'll have plenty of people that can make a legitimate case that say, hey, it wasn't bad for the league that you only, you had one team in the East with LeBron, one team in the West in the Warriors that all their stars, because then you get this colossal matchup. It's good for television and whatnot. Now you're going to get to see the opposite. We've got where the league could be, I guess, as competitive as it was before coming into the 2014-15 season. I think that's the last time it felt this wide open, but now we have even more stars spread out. What do you think? Do you think this is going to have any impact? Like, for basketball fans, I think the consensus across the board, anyone that loves basketball, everyone kind of prefers this because it's more competitive, it's more interesting. But in terms of, like, mass appeal and widespread, that's never really been a proven winning formula. Is this kind of an interesting little experiment phase for the NBA, seeing what it's like with you know, I guess, more competitive balance?
Yeah, I think so, and I think it's really funny, and I haven't really found a way to write this, so I don't know that I'm going to at any point, but I think it's really interesting that as that upper crust of players has more power than ever, they're also sort of obliquely delivering the league exactly what it wants in terms of now, whatever, 10 teams enter the season with hopes of making a finals run, and so, or 12, however many, instead of four. And so, you know, that's that idea. Adam Silver has used the phrase a lot, parity of opportunity. And I think that that's, you know, when you look at Denver and Milwaukee and so on, like, you know, a lot of teams that are not glamour markets being in that conversation. I think that sort of points back to that idea, even though, you know, the LeBrons and Kawhis and KDs and Anthony Davises are dictating more of the flow of talent than ever. It still creates sort of a more balanced playing field, and where you got multiple teams with two guys rather than a ton with three. So I don't know. I mean, I think, and the fact that some of those teams are still in glamour markets, are still in big media markets, I think certainly doesn't hurt things. But I'm interested. I kind of, because if, the thing that fans seem to like as much, or if not more than a team that everyone can root for, is a team that everyone can root against.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know, and I don't think you have that now. I think you have things sort of broken up a little bit differently. Whether that means that for casual fans, it you know, the overall interest wanes, I don't know. I think there's a chance that just the sheer amount of talent and personality across the board will sort of continue to keep interest afloat and maybe even grow the pie a little bit. But it's certainly possible that moving away from the super team era and into a more distributed competitive environment has the opposite effect. And I think, you know, it'll be an interesting set of data points for the commissioner and the league to consider going forward. But I think right now they're kind of with the exception of smaller market organizations definitely not being particularly big fans of the tampering and the way that, Oklahoma City can go from a bona fide playoff team to rebuilding in a night based on two conversations. I don't think everybody loves that, and the league doesn't like that, but the distribution of opportunity, I think, is kind of exactly what they want. So I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but I think no matter what, anybody who's telling you right now, they know, you know, in the same way that we would say, it's just going to be the Warriors and the Cavs, or it's just going to be the Warriors, or it's just going to be whatever. Like, I think anybody who's telling you that right now, that's definitely the Clippers, or it's definitely the Lakers, or definitely the Bucks, I think that is that would be foolish. So I think there's still a lot more to be revealed.
Dan, we always appreciate your time. Enjoy the time off. We look forward to talking to you again in the fall.
Thanks so much, Jeffrey. Take care.
That is Dan Devine. We got to take a quick break, back in just a moment here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's that time again, time for the Bourbon and Ice event at Robert Irwin Jewelers. I went last year. It's unbelievably great. Bring your significant other or friend, and you get to taste fine, rare bourbons and learn about diamonds and jewelry. Here's how it works. You register online at rijewelers.com or at facebook.com/rijewelers, and you will get a prize pack valued at $150. T-shirts, shot glasses, pens, backpacks, all that. But anyway, so then you show up, and they will tell you how to pick a diamond. No pressure at all. You get to sip bourbon as you're looking at diamonds. Bourbon and ice. Diamond choices, which is better, a diamond mined from the earth or a diamond grown in a laboratory? How to spy on her style, how to establish a budget, all of that. I went last year. It's a fabulous event, Thursday, July 18th from 6 to 8 at rijewelers.com. I have a new favorite dessert in the city. It's Bounty's Key Lime Pie. I don't even tend to love key lime pie, but I love this key lime pie. It's fresh, it's cool, it's tangy, and it's perfect for summer. In fact, Bounty is the perfect place for a memorable summer dinner or brunch. The other day, some friends and I started with the jumbo pan-seared scallops served with sweet corn, house-smoked bacon, and white truffle oil. They were flat out incredible. We had the fried Gulf oysters because, I'll be honest, I always have the fried Gulf oysters at Bounty, but we also had the pan-roasted summer flounder, the steamed mussels, and the garden ratatouille. Add a glass of white wine at Bounty because of their unique Korovan wine system. All of their wines are available by the glass, and it's the perfect summer meal. The place is beautiful, the service is attentive, and the key lime pie is, I promise you this, the best you've ever had. Bounty is located at 2519 Broad Avenue. Call 901-410-8131 or visit them at bountyonbroad.com to add some joy to your summer days. You've heard of the Carpenter Art Garden, right? And all the wonderful things it does for the underprivileged young people in Binghamton? Well, now the Carpenter Art Garden hires kids from the neighborhood as staff. That's due in part to a grant from Triumph Bank. And this summer, a group of volunteers from Triumph Bank will be working with the Carpenter Art Garden to teach a 6-week course on financial education and literacy. Think about all the things you know that you take for granted. How to set up a checking account, how to use a debit card, how to budget, and how to save. Triumph Bank understands it's impossible to build any kind of financial future without these basic skills. So they've put together a team of volunteers, which includes the CEO of the bank, Will Chase, by the way, to make sure the kids at the Carpenter Art Garden have the knowledge and the access that they need. That's why Triumph Bank is a different kind of bank, and that's how the people at Triumph Bank treat everyone who steps through their doors. So go to their website at triumphbank.com. They're invested in the community and in making banking easy for you.
Hi, I'm Paul. Isn't it nice when you can keep things simple? Well, now when you switch to Sprint, you can get both an unlimited plan and the all-new Samsung Galaxy S10e included for just $35 per month per line for 5 lines. Plus, Sprint's doing things differently and now offering a new 100% total satisfaction guarantee. I mean, I think Sprint's network and savings are great, but don't just take my word for it. Try it for 30 days, love it, or get your money back. So, why wouldn't you switch to Sprint? An unlimited plan and the Galaxy S10e for just $35 per month with a 100% total satisfaction guarantee. See what I mean? It's that simple. So switch now. Visit your local Sprint store, Sprint.com, or call 800-SPRINT-1 today.
30-day guarantee select exclusions apply. S10e 128 gigabyte, $15 a month after 16.25 a month. Credit for 18 months. Credit apply within 2 bills. If canceled early, remaining balance due. Unlimited basic after 6/30/20. Pay $32 per month per line with auto pay. Data deprioritization during congestion coverage and offer not available everywhere. Speed maximums. Use rules. $30 activation fee and restrictions apply.
She calls me from the cold. Just when I was low, feeling short.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
Can I be your friend? Ben Hogan, Alice Duffy Wright, and Fuel. The pride of UT Martin.
They were there before my time.
Slightly. Well, excuse me, I beg your pardon. And rest in peace, Pathead Summit.
Yes.
Of course, probably the pride of. And I did not leave Jerry Reese off that list.
I was about to say.
He was never considered for me.
He got you 2 Super Bowls, though.
No, Ernie, of course he got him to 2 Super Bowls.
Whatever.
He just happened to be the guy that was sitting there.
It's all right.
let's talk a little football. All right. So 2 interesting lists caught my attention, Ben, and I'm glad to have my rational Tennessee friend with me because my other Tennessee friends don't exactly fall into that category. I have my rational Tennessee fan friend, though, next to me. Let's start first with a list from CBSSports.com, Chip Patterson. Chip Patterson has college football coaches entering year 2 who are defining seasons in 2019. And it's interesting because year 2 actually says a lot, especially if you're at a program that has national that it's realistic. I know everyone wants to win a national championship, but let's be real, not everyone can. You know pretty much in year 2. Other than you have to go back to
Bowden, perhaps. He's the last national championship winning coach that didn't win 10 games in his before year, in either year one or year two at the job. And Bowden, obviously, is somewhat of an outlier because Florida State was transitioning from women's college into being Florida State.
Right.
So year two's a big year. And you tell me which ones you agree with and which ones you disagree with. He has in the most to gain category. So the most to gain being already have goodwill built up almost as if it's a free shot, if you will. Kind of like, you know, it's year two. No, the championship or bust mentality is not there yet, but it's kind of a free shot. He has Scott Frost, who I think most certainly applies.
Yes.
Because
100%.
Well, I used to work at ConAgra, and so ConAgra was forever headquartered in Omaha. So I have a lot of Nebraska friends, and as bad as it looked at times last year, they are all, like, they're all in. And
that makes sense.
Favorite son, and he's getting him back to, you know, the good Dr. Tom Osborne would approve of this and whatnot. He's recruiting at a higher level, and there's the idea of year one, he had to right a lot of wrongs, if you will, of Nebraska football, so he had to change the culture. Free shot. I think that 100% applies here.
Yeah.
This one was what I thought was interesting. Dan Mullen. He has Dan Mullen in the free shot category. And it's interesting from this perspective in that while some that were close to the Florida program will tell you that no one was shedding a tear when Dan left to become the head coach at Mississippi State, there are still those that were like, well, he was part of some pretty good offenses. And then last year, of course, they had some big wins. And now it's kind of free shot. And I think there's also a lot of people out there going, well, if he could win this many games with Felipe Franks, what can he do when he actually gets better players in? And they're ready to, defensively, they think that they're ready to go. And I guess maybe there's also this element of even Florida fans accept right now that Georgia's ahead, if you will. So maybe that's why it feels like a free shot.
I don't know, because if you regress this year and you're Dan Mullen, I think that you lose some of the goodwill that you built up in year one. I think 100% you do that because.
And I think, in fairness, I also think a lot of his goodwill is the fact that he just wasn't Jim McElwain.
Well,
I think that was a huge part of it.
That makes sense.
Yes.
But still, I think if you regress or you don't show like you're ready to challenge Georgia for the SEC East title, I think that Florida fans are going to be like, you know, maybe he was better as a coordinator. Maybe he needs to be in one of those, you know, second-tier SEC programs like Mississippi State. I mean, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's fair because Dan's obviously recruiting better
right
at Florida than he did at State, but it's also—
Makes sense.
Yes. He's still not recruiting like Urban did.
Yeah.
Honestly, he wasn't recruiting like Zook did. I mean, Zook had some big-time classes. Now, he— Ron Zook did, but, you know, I mean,
yeah.
God, what would Tennessee fans give for just another run with the Zooker?
Go for it.
Another run with the Zooker.
Love it.
This one was, I think this is the one that I actually disagree with. Because I can understand the case for Dan Mullen, and I certainly understand the case for Scott Frost. Mario Cristobal, he has him kind of in the free shot category, and I completely disagree with that because to me, like, this feels like there's still enough people going, like, especially with the way Oregon looked at the end of the season, the way they kind of fell apart after the good start. It almost feels like Oregon, and it feels like, you know, he was kind of essentially like an interim coach that got the head job, like, you know, with Willie Taggart leaving in the middle of the night, if you will. It never felt like he was the first. Like, it's not like, I feel like if under normal circumstances, if the Oregon job came up, I do not feel like Mario Cristobal would have gotten the job. So to me, I always feel like when that is the situation, you're always kind of battling against as soon as a few things go wrong, like people are going to
right
turn more quickly. So I don't necessarily, like, I think it's like put up or shut up time.
Yeah, when a fan base feels like that they settled on you,
yeah,
you already have
very good point.
One strike against you. You start struggling year one, you got two strikes. If you struggle in year two, that's pretty much three strikes, and you're going to have to do everything in your power to be incredible in year three if you get a year three.
And further, I think most people in the Pac-12, especially at Oregon, they're looking at, well, USC is really bad right now. Stanford is not at the level that they were when they were, you know, traditionally going, they were basically year in, year out going to the Rose Bowl, winning the Pac-12. They're not at that level. Washington's obviously a better caliber than they were. But I think most people at Oregon are sitting there looking like, why can't we win? Like, you know what I mean? I mean, I think that's a, I think that, and I think that's kind of fair. All right, most to lose. I think we could all agree on number one. Woo, Willie Taggart.
Yeah, yeah.
And in fairness to Willie, Jimbo did that move where when Jimbo decided he was done at A&M, like he was, I'm sorry, when he was done at Florida State, he was done.
Yeah.
he had that $75 million guaranteed contract. And so anytime you're trying to start over from a program that didn't care, that's always going to be a very difficult first year. I give Willie Taggart all the credit on that. But it feels like if he doesn't win at least 8 or 9 games this year, I suppose it looks like all of this is somewhat relative to how does a team look. And when Florida State was getting blown out, like I don't think Florida State covered basically after the month of October. And they were just getting like just destroyed and week in, week out by like teams that shouldn't be destroying them. I do think that if they look more competitive, maybe it won't be, but it feels like he has to win a significant amount of football games.
Yep.
I think that one we can all agree. Number two, I'm all in on, because I've been on this train for a while now. Chip Kelly at UCLA. And I think it's interesting. Chip Kelly was never, recruiting's never interested in him. And if you look at when Oregon was most successful, it was primarily when they were the trailblazers, the forefront of the hurry-up, no-huddle offense. And now, for God's sakes, Alabama, Nick Saban is running the same stuff that Oregon does. Like, everyone runs it. So he's no longer the trailblazer. He's never struck me as the guy that kind of changes the system or adapts the system. He always strikes me as the guy that, this is my system, we'll run it.
Well, you saw the first year with the Eagles, even.
Yeah,
everybody
exactly.
Everybody, that first Monday night football game,
Vic,
like, oh my
God.
Goodness.
Like, Vic's going to win the MVP again.
Yeah, DeSean Jack, it's like everything.
Yeah.
Just, what?
And then Nick Foles threw like 27 touchdown passes.
And you're like, and then finally caught up. The rest of the NFL caught up to
yes.
him.
Yes. And he's not recruiting at a high level at UCLA. I've just never understood this blind assumption that he's just going to win at UCLA. Like, I don't know. That's an interesting one. And then, of course, Jeremy Pruitt is included on the list. And see, it's fascinating for me because what does, if this is a quote unquote defining season for Jeremy Pruitt, what does it have to look like to be a success? Because I mentioned to you, you know, you got to win 10 to be a national title contender. I don't know if Tennessee can, on a year-in, year-out basis, be a title contender, but I still think you can win a national championship at the University of Tennessee.
I think so, too.
I do think it's more difficult because now you look at it, like if you look at it in the 90s, Tennessee had a national brand at a time when there were very few national brands. South Carolina was non-existent. Clemson was not what Clemson is. The Carolina schools, so you could go into that, and then Georgia was at a program low. And then you were also playing in the 90s. You know, that's some of the, there's some really bad Alabama teams. So if you start adding like context, I don't think it's as easy to get the big time players at Tennessee now as it once was. But I still think the system is in place for Tennessee. I don't see any reason why Tennessee can't put together a run every 3 or 4 years. I do not. I don't
contend for the SEC East title. I can see.
Yes.
I'm not saying that this year.
Yeah.
But I think that you have to be maybe third. Like, I think third,
yes.
In the SEC,
you have to beat South Carolina. You have to beat South Carolina. You have to beat Vanderbilt. You got to beat Kentucky.
Missouri.
And then I don't think it would hurt to be Mississippi State at home.
Yeah, and you can't get blown out by Florida, Alabama. That's just basically it's going to happen. You're going to get blown out by Alabama.
A lot of teams are this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's fascinating. We come back, the one story that you've been waiting for, and let me tell you what, the headline alone grabbed both Ben and my attention. We'll tell you about it when we come back, right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 99 FM, ESPN.
I used to do a radio show with George Lapidus, and I'll always remember those wonderful commercials George did for O'Call. He loved O'Call. He loved the people. He loved the clothing. He loved that O'Call had been a part of Memphis for, okay, even longer than George had been. But you know what George really loved? O'Call's semi-annual sale. The semi-annual sale at O'Call was like a holiday for George. He'd wait for it twice a year. So I'm thrilled to be able to tell you that it is that time again. O'Call's semi-annual sale is underway. I stopped by just the other day and picked up 4 dress shirts, a pair of dress slacks, some lightweight shorts, and 3 shirts from Peter Millar. It's not an overstatement to say that O'Call has transformed the way I think about clothes. The right clothes with the right fit not only make you look better, they make you feel better about yourself. So get yourself to O'Call. The sooner you do it, the better the selection. You don't have to be George Lapidus to know O'Call's semi-annual sale doesn't last forever. Take advantage of it while you can.
You gonna come join me?
Yeah, I was just inside watching TV. I'm fed up with this nonsense. Protect the border already. Put our safety first.
Relax. You know Mark Baker. I was just reading here how he's taken a stand to uphold the rule of law.
Mark Baker?
Mark Baker, the former prosecutor and conservative judge.
This Mark Baker, is he a no-nonsense, throw-the-book-at-him conservative?
Yep. And Baker is standing with President Trump on securing the border and putting our safety first. He says our attorney general and law enforcement have to work with President Trump to get this done.
Law enforcement has to be decisive. No wishy-washy politician's going to cut it on this issue.
Listen, sheriffs and law enforcement praise Mark Baker. Tough on crime, stands with the president to protect us. Conservative.
Sweetie, I like what I'm hearing about Mark Baker.
Good. Now, darling, let's get this yard mowed.
Call Representative Mark Baker at 601-359-3388 and tell him to keep protecting Mississippi. Paid for by the Center for Individual Freedom. Ask Alexa or Google to play 92.9 ESPN.
I'm here today with Professor Richard Goldman, who's holding history in the palm of his hand. Tell me, Professor, what does it feel like?
Well, like 2 uncirculated U.S. $10 Gold Liberty vintage coins. These coins are from the California Gold Rush era.
Look at the detail. This coin is over 100 years old, but it looks nearly brand new.
A limited number of these coins were rescued from government meltdown. The surviving gold coins are still in uncirculated condition, and they're available courtesy of government.com.
How can the public get their hands on these beautiful Gold Liberty coins?
Well, to find out how to secure your coins at this exceptional government price, call 1-800-721-0383. But there's a limit of 3 per household. So call now and we'll give you a free gold guide plus a bonus Patriots pack, including a 100-year-old U.S. Lincoln cent just for calling. Call now to get your free gold guide, including an actual 100-year-old U.S. Lincoln cent valued at over $10 free. 1-800-721-0383. That's 1-800-721-0383.
A short-term loan at Ace Cash Express is an easy way for you to cover unbudgeted expenses, and it's never been more convenient to apply. Come see us at one of our neighborhood locations in Tennessee or visit from your computer or smartphone at acecashexpress.com. Loans at Ace are backed by a 72-hour satisfaction guarantee. If you change your mind, just bring back the money borrowed within 72 hours and we'll call it even.
All loans subject to approval. Loans should be used for short-term financial needs and not as a long-term solution. Customers with credit difficulties should seek credit counseling.
Ace Cash Express, earning your trust since 1968.
Hi, Buster Olney here, and my friends at Marathon are really helping you save, because right now you can get 5 cents off every gallon every day with Make It Count rewards from Marathon. Plus, you can earn points for additional savings on fuel, airfare, hotels, and more. It's quick and easy to join. Just visit makeitcount.com/radio or download the free app. So start saving today with Make It Count from Marathon. Offer valid only at participating Marathon locations. Marathon. Fueling the American spirit.
Let's talk about Chad. Last year, he was working 2 jobs, trying to make ends meet, barely staying above water. In February, Chad started his information technology career, making more money, doing something he loves. Don't love what you do? Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Classes meet on campus or live online 2 or 3 times a week. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career, mycomputercareer.edu.
I apologize for my behavior in this Walmart grocery pickup commercial because I just got my groceries and I'm hungry. When you pick up groceries this fresh, you just gotta eat. Am I right? And I didn't have time to shop in store, so I ordered online when it was convenient and then used free curbside pickup to get these baby carrots brought to me without even leaving my car. No extra charge and freshness guaranteed. Speaking of fresh. Oh, man. Try not to order when you're hungry. Walmart grocery pickup. $30 minimum. Restrictions apply. If you're not happy with your order, contact customer care for a refund.
Indulge in Memphis's best fine dining with today's Perks Deal. Half off $100 gift certificates to Restaurant Iris by Chef Kelly English. Get yours today at GetMyPerks.com.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
All right, Benjamin, let's fire it up. Let's get to the one story you've been waiting for.
It's that time again on 92.9. Jeff and Jeffrey have kept you hanging long enough. It is, at long last, the one story you've been waiting for.
Yeah, every so often, Ben, I confess, one of my weaknesses is I struggle with looking at a story and going, is that good content? This was not a story that I struggled with. I immediately texted you last night, be prepared to discuss fully. Because the headline alone was enough for me to go, this is right up my alley. Loud fart gives away suspect's hiding spot, leads to arrest. Clay County, Missouri, Dateline from Fox 9 Television. When tracking down a suspect, law enforcement might use a canine to track down a scent. That was not necessary for a recent arrest in Missouri. According to Clay County Sheriff's Office, over the weekend, Liberty Police were searching for a person who had a felony warrant for an arrest. The person was wanted for possession of a controlled substance. The suspect hid to avoid the police, but apparently let out a fart so loudly, it gave away their hiding spot. Quote, "We got to give props to Liberty PD for using their senses to sniff him out," read a Facebook comment from the Clay County Sheriff's Office. I mean, that's just damn fine reporting.
You did a such good job of hiding.
Yes. You had it. You were so close, but God, that Nachos Belgrande probably just came up at the moment that you least needed it. Oh, God, what a tremendous headline. Whoever wrote that lead also, when tracking down a suspect, oh, just the best. Ben, thank you, buddy.
No problem.
You know, I always love having you here.
Here's
what's coming up next on 92.9 FM ESPN. Of course, Jessica Benson will be hosting the Jason and John Show. She'll have Mark Giannotto and Anthony Sane with her today, 11:25, 1:25. Mike Lombardi going to join the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show today. Excited about that, 2:25 for Mike. Joe Mullinax, Jeff Calkins on the Gary Parrish Show. Also, make sure you're listening at 6 o'clock for the 6, highlighting the best of 92.9. For Ben, for Jeff, for Dan Devine, this is Jeffrey saying, we got to get out of here. We'll try to do better tomorrow.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett, WMFS Memphis, a Radio.com sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's July. That means that your kids are going to be going before back to school before you know it. Also means, certainly in my instance, it means I'm going to be sending another kid off to college before I know it. So now is the time. Beat the rush. Now is the time to get over to Cooper Systems and make sure that your son or daughter has a laptop, a working, functional, speedy laptop so they can flourish academically, whether it is in high school or in college. Seriously, at Cooper Systems, you can walk in there, get an Apple, get a Dell, get a Lenovo, get a Hewlett Packard. My son Andrew went in recently and got a MacBook Pro. He's off to college just in a few weeks, but I want to make sure he is well equipped. That's what they do at Cooper Systems. Lee and Lauren Cooper make shopping easy. They also, by the way, make repairs easy. If you want to get something souped up before you go, go see Lee and Lauren Cooper for that as well. 360-9679, 360-9679 is the number. Or go visit them in the Mount Moriah office park.
Germantown Hardware and Paint is where you can take care of everything grilling this summer. They're a Big Green Egg Platinum Authorized dealer. No one in the city has more Big Green Egg accessories, merchandise, everything than Germantown Hardware and Paints.
Yep, love our Big Green Eggs from Germantown Hardware and Paints, but that's not all they do when it comes to grills. They're the largest dealer of Weber grills in the Mid-South. They've also got the Traeger wood pellet grills. They're Germantown Hardware and Paints at the corner of Germantown Road and Poplar and at germantownhardware.com.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis-area restaurant actually serves World Championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company in Horn Lake. Melissa Cookson, the owner, has won 8 world championships. She was the first woman inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. She's the reason USA Today said a visit to Memphis Barbecue Company is, quote, worth the pilgrimage. I've personally been going there for years. You need to get there and taste it for yourself. It's at 709 DeSoto Cove, just off the interstate in Horn Lake. Check them out on the web, memphisbbqco.com.
Spilled your juice? Quick, the Quicker Picker Upper. Bounty is 2 times more absorbent than the leading ordinary brand. It cleans up messes and spills.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.